started off with this verse. Since you have been raised with Christ, we've been talking about that for several weeks. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Set your sights on the realities of heaven. The psalmist talked about the heavens declaring the glory of God. Nature, the skies. But now the apostle says, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. So when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in His glory. Set your sights on the realities of heaven. Think about the things of heaven. Heaven itself. So what does it mean to set your sights on the realities of heaven? Or other translations say, on things above, where Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. Is this a call to dream about escape from earth with its responsibilities and evils? We look at the skies and the beauty of the clouds. We look at the struggles of earth and of world, and we just say, "I just sort of beam me up, Lord. I want out of here." Or is this a call to a certain way of living today? Set your realities or set your sights on the realities of heaven. Is it a call to be good and holy so that we can go to heaven someday? Well, that scripture is there. Or does this instruction say something about what God is doing now? Set your sights on the realities of heaven. Ask you a question. And this is more than a rhetorical. Just sort of respond with me a little bit here. Let's talk. What makes heaven heaven? As you think about heaven, what for you makes heaven heaven? Pardon? That's where God is. And Christ. No worries. Bring it on.
No sin.
Home. Yeah. Got a lot of friends there, don't you? No tears. We're going to have to put up with snow like we had this week. What makes heaven heaven? In the book of the Revelation, we have this an attempt at a picture of heaven by the Apostle John. It just has some unique expressions about heaven. It starts off a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven to earth. So where is heaven? Is it up in heaven or is it down on earth? And the new Jerusalem coming down, and God says, "I'll be in your midst." So is heaven here or there? I don't know about you, Quint. The questions are getting more complex for me all the time. But in there, he gets talking about, and I want you to talking about heaven, and just look at some of the expressions that he pens for us. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. This next phrase grabs my attention. The nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the world will enter the city in all their glory. Well, let's talk about nations will walk in its light. Is there going to be more than one nation in heaven? There is no night there. And in the other writings by John, the Gospel according to John, the fourth book of the Bible, letters of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, night is a primary symbol of evil, darkness. No night there. No evil? That'll take care of the worries. All the nations will bring their glory and honor to the city. We're going to enjoy the multi-ethnic qualities of earth. Nice big garden salad of different ethnicities. Nothing evil be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry and dishonesty. Its citizens are those registered in the Lamb's Book of Life. As you look at these different descriptions of heaven, what's the common denominator that you see through it all? I think I heard. Christ. Christ is the common denominator. This is not a picture of all of us being made angels and strumming our harps as we float on clouds, is it? That's not in Scripture. We're going to get to enjoy food, all the different, I think, just life. Christ becomes the common denominator. Heaven, sometimes, the early century writer and philosopher Augustine talked about it as a city, the city of God. I just grabbed that one because is it a city? Is it heaven? Is it a location? Is it a nation? Is it heaven? A city whose governor and Lord is Jesus Christ. Friends, as I read Scripture, heaven is more than a reward for doing nice things in this life. It's an eternal destiny for those who have followed Jesus as their Lord in this life. Let that one sink in a little bit. It is a future. It's more than a reward of they did a lot of nice things. Did they follow Jesus as their Lord? There's the question. Listen to some of the phrases of Scripture. You see, the key to heaven is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is more than just saying, I believe Jesus existed. I believe he was a great man. I believe everybody should follow his. Folks, there's a lot of people that say that. But there's something deeper that's here. The Apostle Peter, God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. I know of a lot of Christians that would like for us to eliminate that line because Jesus talking to his disciples after a mission trip that they had been on, and they had cast out demons and they had healed diseases. Jesus said to them, "Do not rejoice that spirits submit to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Look at this talk about the final judgment that the Apostle John portrays for us in the 20th chapter of the Revelation. The Apostle says, I saw a great white throne and the one sitting on it. The earth and sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were opened, including the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done. Some translations say, according to their deeds. The dead were judged according to their deeds, as recorded in the book. The sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead. All were judged according to their deeds. So does it matter how we behave? Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. And you can get all hung up. Is this hyperbole? Is this visualization? Is this literal? You can play with that one. That's okay. Here's my concern. Is your name written in the book of life? The more I've studied Scripture, I think there's about two questions that are going to confront every one of us at the judgment. Letter to the Romans, chapter 1. The Apostle Paul says, God has shown his glory through nature and revealed everything we need to know to be saved. So what did we do with the light and insight God gave us? Jesus raises this question. Did we honestly seek and do God's will? Or have we been busy seeking God's blessing for the way we are and excusing us for the way we did? Folks, let me just say, there's a judgment scene coming. This creates a real question for me. If we resist belief in and submission to Jesus as Lord today, what makes us think we want to live in a city under his lordship in the future after death? I'm amazed that the people are always going to heaven. They're wonderful people, but they don't want Jesus. They like him as model, but they don't submit to him as Lord. So what makes them think heaven's going to be comfortable? There have been many times in history where people have tried to set up cities with laws that would enforce God's morals as law. And they kept having to write more laws and more laws and more laws and more laws because people kept finding more and more and more and more excuses for not following those laws. And it got so heavy and like ISIS trying to enforce its religious beliefs. The only way you made it is out of fear of getting your head chopped off. That's not heaven. Heaven is where Jesus is Lord and governor, and in worship to him, we're not going to need policemen to enforce God's laws. Yes, heaven does talk about set your sights on heaven, out on that future, and make sure you're taking care of that relationship with Jesus Christ today as Lord. Michelle, my remote's not advancing. It's take me to the next slide. But Jesus taught that the kingdom of heaven is present, tense, now. Mark tells us, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee where he preached God's good news. He taught, the time promised by God has come at last. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. Jesus talked about something about the kingdom of heaven's already here. It's already here. Luke tells us Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. And he replied, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation. Or people will say, here it is or there it is. Because the kingdom of God is within you. Not will be out there beyond earth. Jesus says the kingdom of God is here. Now. There's a unique phrase. Where? Within you. It's already here. It's within you. It's in your midst. Jesus taught us to pray, our Father in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it is, let it happen now. So is the kingdom of God just out there in heaven in the future after the second coming, after death and resurrection? Or is there something about the kingdom of God that's present now in our midst? It is future destiny. It is future beyond this life. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about the resurrection for those who have come to faith in Christ. For the destiny of heaven. But heaven is also a kingdom now. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you as well. He was talking about, you know, while we take care of things like housing, clothing, food. Present your bodies to God as living sacrifices that are holy and acceptable to God. That's a call now, not tomorrow. Not just in prep. It's living kingdom of heaven now. Last week I used the phrase, the life of heaven has been birthed into us by the grace and gift of God. It's called eternal life. See, life with hearts and minds set on heaven is life submitted to the Lordship of Jesus today. In the midst of this world, Hey, watch this a little bit and sort of think about what it means, life with hearts and minds set on heaven. It was so nice when we were talking about heaven out there. Seek the reality of heaven now. See, life with hearts and minds set on heaven is life submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ today, dealing with that baggage, dealing with the stuff of life. See, as we submit to the Lordship, let me give you a little hint. God will constantly lead us in growth, change. God is a change agent. There's a way he comes around and says, you're such a good guy. What he really does is say, you really are a good guy, but there's a couple of things we need to talk about, Ben. Right? It's what he's always doing with me. Behavior patterns, ways of thinking, distorted priorities, old anger, bitterness, hurt, disappointments. Consequences of bad decisions, consequences of decisions of others that infect us. We've been since last fall talking in the first few chapters about what God has done, and now in chapters 3, based on what God has done, chapters 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul says, okay, now here's some things we need to deal with. And the very first one we're going to look at next week is actually found in verse 2, and it says, take charge of the way you think. And that one's a tough one. It sounds so nice. Take charge of the way you think. And then he talks about taking off the old ways and putting on new ways. We're going to be looking at that for, I don't know how many weeks. This thing already went 20 times as long as I thought. But brings a prayer of the old psalmist to me. Following Jesus, setting our realities, setting our sights on heaven where Jesus is Lord. Basically, it's making Jesus Lord today. Making Jesus Lord and Master today. God, search me. Know my heart. Watch out. Go ahead and test me, Lord. When's the last time you said, Lord, test me? You've said, Lord, that's too big of a test. Let me alone. No, we turn around and submit into the Lordship of Jesus. Says, Lord, go ahead and test me. Go ahead. Have you prayed that one lately? I haven't. Know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. And lead me along the path of everlasting life. Folks, good old translation of everlasting life or life eternal is the life of heaven. Life under the Lordship of Jesus. Ben selected a song to close with. It's a great prayer. It just says it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Now the writer says the things of earth will grow strangely dim. When I first started, they get awfully bright, and they get awfully big, and they get all overwhelming. But when we keep focused in on Christ, they start to dim in the light of God's glory and transforming grace. Would you stand and sing this old song with Ben this morning?